We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, any of you have been around here for a while, you have heard me say before that every Christian needs to have that verse tattooed on the backs of your eyelids so that every time you blink, that verse is flashed before you. If you are a Christian and you have not committed that verse to memory, you should do so beginning right now. Make sure that you have implanted it in your mind before the sun sets today. It is crucial that we all know that verse. Well, a few of you are waking up. Yeah, you're coming. See, you got to know this verse, okay? And let me just run through it piece by piece so that you can catch the significance and importance of the verse. It starts with the words, we know. Okay, got it? We know. Now, what it means is that we are absolutely certain about what follows in that verse. It means that we have no doubt about what this verse says whatsoever. Of this, we are absolutely certain. Got it? It's like it's like rock bottom solid. It's there. You can stand on it. You don't got to worry about it. We know. Okay? We know it because we know it. I'll get you there sooner or later. Okay? We know that God causes. Now, I want you to understand this is the action of God. This is entirely of God. It is the unalterable will of the Father that this should happen, and therefore, it's going to. It must happen. God causes. You don't do it. Okay? God causes. All things. Now, you ready for this? Outside of all things is no thing. All right? There are no exceptions. Everything is included under all things. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, it's real care. You got to get this one down right. It does not say that all things are good. It doesn't say that. Some things are not good. They are bad. Some things are hurtful, painful, dangerous, disheartening, and upsetting. God does not cause those things to happen to you. Okay? If at all possible, we should avoid those things. But God insists that all things, outside of which is no thing, that all things must work in concert with all other things to bring us good. What it means is, when you get through it all, you will discover that all of it fell together, and the sum result of it is blessing. We know that God does that to those who love Him and are called to do His will. Now, I've told people this before, and they don't like this, but I'm going to tell you right now. Every promise God gives us in the Scripture is conditional upon something. Okay? You want to receive the blessing of God, there is a cost that you must be willing to pay in order to receive that blessing. If you want all the stuff in your life, everything, the good stuff and the bad stuff, to work together so that the sum result of everything that happens to your life is blessing, if you want that, then you must first of all resolve to love God. You know what the scripture says? If you love me, you will obey me. Because all of the commandments that God gives us, he gives to us in order to protect us from hurting ourselves because he loves us. It is a sign of our love for God that we live life God's way. So if you love him, you're going to demonstrate it by obeying him. Okay? The first condition for receiving this promise is that you love him. And the second is that you are called to do his purpose. See, God has a purpose for your life. And you need to resolve to live your life in order to fulfill the purpose of God in you. I don't know what your purpose is. Some of you I do. Okay? I know what my purpose is. God has called me to be faithful in leading this congregation. Doesn't matter if there's 2 people or 102 people or 1,000 or 2 people. God's called me to be faithful in it. He said, do this job. This is what I want you to do. Now, God's got a purpose for your life, like he's got a purpose for mine. And if you want this blessing, that all things will work together to bring you good, then you have to resolve to live your life to accomplish the purpose that God has set for it. Are you with me? See, I wish I could tell you, because I know pastors do this, if you're a Christian and you just sort of say, okay, I like Jesus, you're going to get this promise. Think again. He says you get this promise on 2 conditions. Number 1, you love me and you demonstrate your love for Jesus by obeying him. And number 2, that you will accomplish the purpose that he has appointed for your life. And if you will do those things at the end of your life, when it's all done and you sit down and look at it, you will say, oh my goodness, how blessed I've been. And can I tell you a secret? It'll happen before you get to the end of your life. Okay? You'll sit back and you'll say, my, am I blessed. Is everything good? Nah. Do I get everything I want? Nah. Okay. But am I blessed? Oh, yeah. Big time blessed. Big time. That's what makes this verse so important. It's why we need to have it imprinted on the backs of our eyelids. I'm serious. I wish I knew how to do that for you. Because we need to hold on to this promise. Now, the fun thing is that in the text that Chuck just read to you, Jesus said exactly the same thing. He was speaking to a large crowd of people. Some of those listening to him were his disciples. Others were not committed to following Jesus. And he told them that if they were in him, that is, if they would follow him, if they would commit their lives to loving him and doing his purpose, everything in their life would work together to bring them good. Blessed are you who are poor, he said. Anybody really want to be poor? I mean, is there somebody in the congregation who is just dying for poverty? I mean, would you please stand up? See, being poor in and of itself is not a good thing. But Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. See, eventually, all of the riches of God's kingdom would belong to those who love him and who follow him. Blessed are you who hunger now, Jesus said. Anybody dying for hunger? Just really love hunger. Love it when your stomach's going because you haven't eaten anything for 97 days. Just love that, right? Being hungry is not necessarily a good thing. But he says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. See, the day will come when God's children are completely filled. And you know what you need to remember? The other lesson Jesus taught about bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. the day will come when you rejoice in that bread which Jesus gives. Jesus said, blessed are you who weep now. Now, people cry out of sadness, out of distress, out of fear. Any of you really anxious to cry for those reasons this morning? Not a good thing. Blessed are you who weep now, he says, for you will laugh. In heaven, the scripture tells us, there will be no tears of sadness. There will be no mourning, meaning the kind that follows death. All pain will be banished and death gone. And we will laugh. In the presence of our Lord, we will experience overflowing joy. Blessed are you, he said, when men hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject you because you belong to me. Now, it hurts to be treated like that. Nobody wants to be rejected and insulted and excluded. In and of itself, it's not a good thing. But Jesus said, if you are so treated, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. Paul wrote it, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory of God's kingdom, which will be our eternal home. You see it? We're blessed. So says Jesus. We are blessed because all things work in concert with all other things to bring good to us by God's command if we love Him and are resolved to live out His purpose. But woe to those who do not know Him, he said. For in their lives, the promise is not true. Woe to you, he said, if you think that you are happy now because you are rich. I mean, you got a 1,000-inch flat screen. 78 cars in your 79-car garage. Your swimming pool's outside, but heated. I mean, you've got everything you want in life, okay? And you're sitting there saying, oh, I am so... Have you ever known a rich person who was really happy? Aren't they driven? Always seeking more? Never having enough? You know what Jesus said? Well, if you're happy with all you've got now, enjoy it. Because that's all you get. All there is for you who live for now is now. There is no reward waiting you in heaven. Those who are trusting their riches instead of Jesus are without hope. Woe to those who live to feed their faces, he said. For that's all you get. If you live for the here and now, there is no reward for you in heaven. Woe to the party people, Jesus said, who live for the joy of the moment. Because if you're all wrapped up in the here and now, that's all there is for you. It's all you get. Eventually, you'll stand outside the gates of the kingdom and weep and wail because in partying you missed heaven. The big party, folks. Woe to those the world loves. All you get is the acclamation of those who like you in this life. See, if what you want is the esteem of people rather than the love of God, go for it. But understand, folks, that's all there is. There is no reward in heaven if all you want is the approval of people. See, Jesus was making the same point as Paul made in Romans 8:28. If you choose God now, you need not worry about anything in life, because in the end, you'll look back at it all and say, "Huh, I was so blessed. It all worked together to bring me good." But if you live for now and do not come to Jesus, you better grab it and hold on to it tight. Because if you live for now, now is all you get.